Hi, my name's Alex Donaldson.
Hello, Alex.
Hello. And I am here to conduct this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 23rd of July,
yeah.
2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Christopher David Allen, 53, Peterborough.
Good. And how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, up for it. Ready to go.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
I saw something on the web. I was just flicking randomly through things and it came up and I thought, oh, that looks interesting. Put in an application as soon as I could, and the rest of it's history. Lucky enough to be picked, here we are today.
And how did you feel when you found out you'd been chosen?
Elated. Yeah, I was really excited for a start. And then you think about, I came down yesterday to have a look, and you forget how big Trafalgar Square is. And you actually see the whole thing and it's a bit like, ah, okay. It just brings you down a little bit. But now I'm here, I'm ready to go. So very happy, yeah.
And what do you do in life?
I'm a special needs PE teacher. I teach people with mild learning difficulties, autism, Asperger's and Down syndrome mainly. We do all sorts of sports, and part of which I'm hoping to be showing up on the plinth.
And how did you initially get into this?
I literally just applied for a job. I've been teaching PE for 18 years in one school. I thought if I don't jump now, I'll be there forever till they carry me out feet first. So I just put in one application, got an interview, got the job. I think because I play the piano as well. They like the idea in a special needs school of the piano and the sport at the same time.
Okay. And what kind of effect has this had on you as an individual?
Special needs?
Teaching in
a... Oh, teaching.
You're used to teaching in... Where were you teaching
before? In Peterborough. It's all in Peterborough. Yeah, I'm in Spalding now, which is about 20 miles away. It's teaching is a strange profession, really. I'm in it purely for the kids. I don't want to climb any ladders. I don't want to be deputy of this. I don't want to be head of that. The only thing I enjoy is actually when I'm with the students, with the children. Once we start meetings and writing and pieces of paper and this non-stop government rubbish they throw at us, that's when I start to switch off. Bring the kids in. Becomes interesting again, because at the end of the day, that's what we should be in it for.
And how does it compare now working with children with special needs?
They're better behaved. So many people are surprised about that. They expect special needs, they expect you to be holding them down and locked doors. Not at all. We don't hear any. You've probably heard one swear word in a year. You never see a mobile phone. You very rarely get cheek, very rarely get answered back. Of course, they've got their full statement here. There's kids there with all the problems, but they're so nice to be with. They just are. And my bugbear is, in a mainstream school, the children that are poorly behaved have no reason to be poorly behaved apart from the fact that they're just poorly behaved. In a special needs school, they have got a medical reason why they're the way they are. And they've always got that before anything else. It's good. It's really interesting, actually. People come in for a day to watch. And they just love it. Everybody loves it. So if you're ever down that way, come and have a look.
And how does it make you feel being able to pass on knowledge to children?
It's great. I'm most interested in not just passing on my subject, but just general life experiences and skills. That's another major difference between mainstream school and special needs. You really do. For example, at lunchtimes, we have a top table every week. The table that's had the best manners, the most polite conversation. And they get a tablecloth on the table and a vase of flowers. And they get to go up and get their lunch first. And it's just, it's almost like going back to school 30 years ago. It's the way things used to be done. But to me, it's the proper way to do it.
And how does the school teaching at the moment compare to previous schools?
Oh, completely different. Previous school, 1,150, this one, 123. Previous school, 32 in a class, this one, 12. So I'm only responsible for 12 young people, year eights. Each one you have to know inside out, because they all have their own little boxes that they're in, and you have to know their peculiarities. You can't shout at them, it's just pointless. Just little things, the autistic ones don't want you near them, some of them love you to be there, they never stop talking, some of them never talk. They're all totally different. Whereas in mainstream school, it can be much of a muchness. You get the naughty ones, you get the ones in the middle, And you get the really quiet ones who sometimes it's a job to know their name because they are so quiet and they're just good. So you don't have to shout at them, you don't learn their names.
And how, initially, how long did it take you to become, well, to adjust yourself to working with children with special needs?
It was a huge shock for a start. It was a massive shock. For example, I now have to teach maths in my current school, in my special needs school. I haven't got an O-level or a GCSE in maths. But when you realise it's two times table, three add four, counting up to 10, using counters and bricks, it's like being in reception. So that was a big shock. Things like we have Lego Club, Monopoly Club, we say grace before lunch. All that sort of thing that's just from a bygone age in a state, in a mainstream school. But it gives them a real sense of order, which they really need a sense of order, and they love it.
And how long have you been working in education for?
19 years. That's all, even at my vast age. Only 19 years, yeah.
And what do you, sorry, it's got a general question, but yeah, what do you think of the state of the British education system?
Not much, really. The fact that 30 years ago, kids could read, write and spell, and now, with all the extra help, literacy hour, phonemes, graphemes, all these ways of teaching children words, they leave, they can't write, they can't spell, they speak a lot of them in text language. It's just a shame that it's going. Plus, every year exams get easier. Definitely exams get easier. If you look at an O-level maths paper from 20 years ago compared to a GCSE maths paper now, the O-level paper is what A-level is now. And every year there's more and more exams because the government's pressing everybody to get more and more bits of paper, and the schools are happy to give them out because it makes the schools look better, so they go higher up the league table, and it's all just a load of old tosh. That's my personal opinion.
And just to go back to what you were doing in Plinth.
Yeah.
Break it down.
What's going on? Right. Well, I sat looking through a book of fancy dress costumes with my three-year-old son. We'd narrowed it down to a medieval knight, a cowboy. He quite liked the monk's outfit. When he saw Buzz Lightyear, that was it. He just pointed at that, Buzz Lightyear. So in spite of the ridicule, I'm going on as Buzz Lightyear. I'm going to attempt to do some aerobics, as we do in special needs school, in the full Buzz Lightyear outfit. I'm going to do some skipping. I've got some sweets to throw out. I've got some a ball to throw at people. If they get it back to me, they can have a sweet. Some things to talk about, little stories about my life and stuff if people are interested. If they're not, we'll go straight back to aerobics. But my quest is to get some of them actually doing this aerobics. And I'm going to play on their heartstrings. There's 100 special needs kids watching you. And if you don't join in with their favourite teacher, they're going to be upset. So come on, somebody, and we just try and build it up a little bit. Even if it's just 5 minutes, it'll be nice.
And is there anybody who's coming in particular to see
you? My son's here. And I think there may be some of the teachers from school, because we spotted them at the station. And there's no reason why they'd be at the station in Peterborough. So there might just be some of my colleagues come to see me make a fool of myself.
And how are you feeling about the live streaming?
The live stream? Oh, don't mind that at all. No, not at all. I do realise that the microphones are very sensitive up there. Even though the people on the ground will struggle to hear you, the microphone, you can hear every single word, particularly if you listen through headphones. So you've got to be a little bit careful. And I've got to be careful that when I'm doing my aerobics, I've got my iPod on, that I'm not singing along to the tracks, because that can be really horrible, especially if you don't know the words and if you can't sing. So we'll see, but I'm not bothered about the live streaming. It's an hour out of your life. It's a privilege to be here, and I'm just going to get up there and just do whatever, see what happens. Can you believe it?
Okay, sorry, we just had to pause quickly. So what are you planning on doing future wise
me?
Yeah,
getting old. That's my main plan. I'd like to just, I've by no means finished what I need to do on this planet, and I don't believe there's any others, so I'm doing my best to keep fit and just keep going. I've got no plans career-wise at all. I'll just keep going at this school now until I get thrown out, or taken out feet first, and watch my kids grow up, carry on playing the music, just enjoy my life. I've got a lovely wife, fantastic family, so that's my son who's with me today, my older son, and they're just happy. Very happy person all the time.
And can I ask you about your family?
Yeah.
So you've got two sons?
You've got two sons and a daughter. Joe's 20, Lily is 4, Alf is 3, and my wife's 33. So it's a 20-year age gap there. Yeah, so very well.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. A lot of people say that.
And can I just ask you a little bit about your background, where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up in Peterborough. Original Peterborough boy, failed the 11 plus, went to a very rough secondary modern. A levels at the local college, went off to Loughborough, where I studied with Dave Moorcroft, Sebastian Coe, people like that, Lord Coe now, as he is, to be a PE teacher. Joined a punk band, went and lived in Scandinavia for a while, and toured America with a band. Spent 6 years as an actor and model, and lived down here for ages, doing all sorts of commercials. Had a hi-fi shop, worked on a building site, dug holes, put trees in, been bankrupt. God, it's a rich tapestry of life.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, you must have had some quite interesting stories. You've had a pretty crazy background.
Yes, yeah, interesting. Driving a Ferrari in Spain in the middle of a Schweppes advert, and the guy who owns it stormed up in a four-wheel drive, threw me out, and the girl the other side took the car and steamed off into the sunset. We were all left halfway up a hillside. That was quite interesting. Bailiffs around the house at the other end for debts for... the National Westminster Bank, who foreclosed on us at the start of the 80s. In the same week, my wife left, took the kids. So I lost 40 grand cash, which was quite a lot of money in 84. So I've started literally right from nothing. And I'm still grinning. Still there. It's all just experiences that are there to challenge you.
Can I ask you about music? You just said that you're quite interested in music.
Yes. Yeah, well, I was in the 70s. Yeah, we've got an album out in Japan now that we recorded in the 70s. It's all in Japanese, and it's absolutely bizarre. All recorded in demos in my bedroom, and they've taken to it. Don't ask me why, it's awful. In Japan, I play in a wedding band called The Motivators, and we're out like once a week. We do society weddings and real posh do's. I play in an 80s rock band, and we do pubs. And the love of my life musically is I play in a band called Brotherhood's Roundabout, which is prog rock, 70s prog rock, difficult stuff to play. That's great fun.
And so this is something you're very much still involved in?
Oh yeah, I'm out playing 2-3 times a week, every week. So yeah, very much involved.
I mean, how transition wise, how have you moved through different genres? Still quite...
Well, with the Motivates, with the wedding band, we seem to play the same old rubbish because that's what people at weddings want to hear. They want to hear Cheer Up Sleepy Jean, December 63. When they're getting really drunk, they want A Bin of Madness and I Put It to Right and that sort of thing. And they want ABBA and Oh, We'll Survive, Gloria Gaynor. So we just churn out the same things over and over again because young people seem to like music at weddings when they've had a few. Citizen Smith, the 80s band, that stays more or less the same as well. But Brotherhood's Roundabout, we do old-fashioned prog and modern prog as well. You look puzzled. I don't blame you. Probably don't even know what prog is, do you?
No.
It's all that stuff where keyboard players have capes and wild solos and songs where there's never a little catchy bit you can click along to. It's all that stuff.
That's great. And so
you look like it's great. This guy is totally insane.
So you mentioned you recently got married?
I got married 9 years ago. Yeah, blimey, 9 years. Second wife. Last one, I hope.
Okay,
yeah, it's fantastic. We get on so well, and it's just right. It's just lovely. I can never wait to get home to see her. I don't think she feels that way because she's changed the locks 3 times. No, not really, but it's great. Yeah, I love being married. I just really like it. I never thought I would. Didn't want to get married, didn't want any kids. Yeah. Now I've got 3 and I'm happy as Larry.
And just to go back to the plinth, what are your kind of hopes, fears, expectations for your hour?
Fear is wanting to have a wee, because that's just me. Because I drink loads of water. Hopes that somebody's going to join in with the aerobics. Even if it's just one person, I'll really feel that I've done it. Even just the simple stuff. I don't want to run out of things. I'm desperate not to just stand there. I don't want to do the statue bit. I want to try and get people involved and talk to them. I watched a boy up there last night and he managed to get people engaged. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Yeah, it's great.
Great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Let's go.
Okay. Okay, just quickly, I really want to know, what are your three words that you described yourself as?
Happy, open, outgoing. Yeah, I looked at those this morning to remind myself what they were, just in case anybody asked.
And is that how you'd still
describe
yourself?
Yeah, I'm certainly happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just very quickly, what's probably the most important thing in your life at the moment?
Kids. My kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Pleasure.